Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake.
Even this song sucks. Randy Newman sucks. Like, he makes movies for Toy Story or songs for Toy Story. I think of Woody running around with the pig that moves.
Cleveland sort of sucks, so.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think that's.
I tell you what, I mean, we played there, what, 2 years ago? When Brady was coming off the suspension week 5? Part of downtown was pretty decent. Like, I'm like, wow, Cleveland really. They got nice facilities. The downtown area is clean. Stayed at a nice hotel. Like, wow, it's a good experience here. I ate in the Italian district. It was nice.
More from Hard Knocks, which happened last night, episode 2.
Mm.
Hardy, what were you going to play next?
Yeah.
This is about Antonio Callaway. So this is Todd Haley, who tells Landry, you need to take Callaway under your wing.
Callaway right? is a rookie receiver.
Right. Callaway, prior to this preseason game against the Giants last week, was pulled over with a suspended license and had weed in his car, which he then didn't tell the team. He didn't tell the team, and then the team found out when everyone else found out.
Team's going to punish him, though, so they're going to punish him by making him play every snap. And so instead of sitting him down and suspending him, you're actually going to play more.
Which which worked a couple of years ago, I think, for the Steelers. Yeah. It was Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
And
Blunt.
Oh, LeGarrette Blount.
They smoking up.
Those guys got in trouble. So their punishment was they had to play the entire fourth preseason game.
Right.
But it's a little different when it's games 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Especially 3.
Well, Callaway played in this
Cleveland.
This is near the end of the game with Todd Haley, offensive coordinator, talking on the sideline about the need to take him under his wing.
That's so much.
Bless him, man.
Go ahead and bless him.
Yeah.
I think the way Callaway has played tonight just had to make John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson feel really good about the decision they made to send Corey Coleman to Buffalo in that trade.
Hey, you need to take that kid on. I don't care if he's living at your house. We can't have a
Whoa, what was that now?
He said, I don't care if he's Well, living at your
you
house.
You need to take that kid on. I don't care if he's living at your house. We can't have him.
Can't have him what?
Have him bleep up.
Oh.
Can you do that? I said, you got all this passion. Just take the kid on your way. Larry Fitzgerald would.
That's what he says to Jarvis. To Jarvis Landry. You're going to take him under your wing. I don't care if he's living at your bleeping house. We can't have him bleep up.
WWLF.
And then goes,
what would Larry Fitzgerald do?
Larry Fitzgerald would.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty good by Haley, and Haley's former head guy at Arizona.
You want to be like
one.
Him?
You want to be a top receiver? You want to be a guy who's considered, you know, one of the best and Hall of Fame worthy and all that stuff?
That's what he would do.
Do what he would do.
My favorite,
take that guy under his wing.
My favorite time during all of this is the whole game when the offense is moving the football. Is Hugh Jackson, he has his finger on the button, like talking to his coaches, but cheering. He's fist pumping and he's, that's first down, that's first down, that's first down, that's touchdown, that's touchdown. It's like he got fan of the game, and you got to go down and put a headset on and run around on the sidelines. Keep going here, bud. Do you have the defensive coordinator Greg Williams before halftime?
You want that, or you want more Haley? We can go do Greg Williams.
Well, Haley has some good stuff. He also talked about some of the stuff that makes him likable, like the name Carl for Carl Nassib, and how do you get the name Carl as a baby?
I'm getting dumber. Like, I've had to start reading because I noticed I was getting stupider.
That's Nassib himself talking about getting stupider.
All right.
Stupider's a word? Is it not?
Is Nassib's name Carl?
What NASA's name?
What's
his name, Carl?
Can you imagine seeing a little baby and like, oh, look, let's name him Carl.
He makes sense in this, doesn't he?
Look at this baby.
Yeah.
Let's name him Carl. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, Carl.
You know what? You know what? He's right.
He's absolutely right.
We've never had a Carl call this show.
Well, I'm sure we
have. Is there a Carl that works in this building?
It's the notion of naming a baby like Stan.
Oh,
well, seriously.
He's so cuddly. I can't wait till you're old enough to install a new garbage disposal.
This is so
for
Cleveland.
Me. Little Stan.
This is so Cleveland.
No, play there. Is there more to it?
A guy named Todd, of all people. Todd is making fun of Carl. Todd's another tool name.
Todd could be a baby name. It's not a baby name.
It's about being a baby with
it's about
that
being
name.
A baby yeah. named Carl. Which is funny.
How do you, like, it seems like you'd only get that name, like, later in life.
That's kind of like Swiss boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Carl.
Carl, you only get that later in life.
Yeah, you and your wife are driving around. You get that book of baby names. You're sitting there. Okay, we got our top five. Dylan, Tyler, you know. Well, you know, Paul is a family name. What about, you know what sticks out to me? Carl.
Can you imagine seeing a little baby and like, oh, look, let's name him Carl. Look at this baby. Let's name him Carl.
There's another scene.
Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, Carl.
There's another scene where they have just a shot looking into the office of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley is upside down on one of those
traction
chairs.
That's awesome.
Where you just see his feet in the shot. There's no great audio to it, but it's funny.
Maybe he's waiting for someone to come in and tickle his feet.
Gucci, Gucci, Gook.
Oh, man. Pedro on the pike on the Cleveland Browns. What do you got for us, Pedro?
Hey, guys. So you're sitting there talking about the Cleveland Browns and how funny and everything's going to be. Well, keep talking about them because in a couple years, you'll be talking about them going to the Super Bowl and Bill Belichick. Hey, listen, it's true. Look at the things adding up. Belichick has a strong relationship with that team. So what better place for him to go back to and cement himself?
Mm. At 79, yes, I agree.
At 79, he's still doing what he's doing now. The only difference is Tom Brady wants to run the team, so go ahead. Go ahead, tough guy, see what you got. Okay. That's why he's getting these incentives. So when it's all said and done, and Belichick's got to go off to the Browns,
he's going to go back to the Browns.
Say Belichick again. Is he gone?
No, he's
gone. We sound like Mad Dog.
Belichick.
Pedro.
Belichick.
I can tell you the Browns probably aren't going to the Super Bowl anytime soon. They are certainly not going to the Super Bowl with that coaching situation.
Tough to envision that one.
They're not.
Do you want to hear Nassib talking about the money management? We heard a little clip of that earlier.
Yes.
All right. So this is him giving some financial advice or questions in the locker room.
Isn't it 7% every 10 years, not 10% every 7 years?
What? It's called the rule of 7. If you get 10% on your returns, you double it every 7 years. Like Tony Robbins about it. He's my hero.
If you get a 10%, like, if you find that, you gotta hang on to that for dear life.
Yeah, that's what the rich people do, bro.
That doesn't even, like, exist anywhere, though.
What are you talking about?
Low cost index fund, bro.
10% over the last 90 years. 9.8% over the last 90 years.
Yeah, that was when the economy was...
For the last 90 years.
That's called an average.
That's Anthony Fabiano, who's saying, where are you getting a return of 9.8% by putting your money in the bank?
For 90 years I've been getting
And he said, he goes, maybe a hedge fund could get you that, but where's the bank getting you
right.
just by putting your money in an account?
X Capital can deliver even higher than that.
Right.
A little risky, though.
Right, there's risk. Yeah. This guy had been telling his teammates, just put your money in the bank and don't spend it, and you're going to get 10% returns on it. And he's like, what?
No.
How are you doing that?
No.
If you invest it, you can do that. But where are you getting that from?
Even in Brewster's Millions, they're offering only the special 7% interest rate for him and some of their oil friends, I believe, from the Middle East. That was it. Not going to do better than that.
617-779-0985. The Browns are a joke. That they are. But I don't think they're as bad as we thought they were. I think they've got some players. They've got two decent coordinators. Baker Mayfield looks good.
And they got Greg Williams, which we didn't get a chance to get to yet.
You
want to
play that?
He'll hold
you
want to
do it real quick?
Yeah, real quick.
He holds
the
room.
All right, this is Greg Williams talking about his defense there.
Get your ass back there, you goofball. When you look at yourself on film and you wonder why I cut your ass, you look at effort first. I'm going to kill him at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
At halftime. Hey, get your ass in at halftime and get seated. Oh. You're on defense. Get the f*** over here. We're walking around. Get to the f*** huddle. When you don't get in and out of the huddle, when you don't substitute, when you don't communicate, when you don't fight, you don't belong. And I don't care what athletic ability you have. Young guys, this is not college football anymore. So we need to understand and we need to make a decision that I have a focus and I have an energy to go out and play our way. Do we understand that?
You can understand why defensive guys like him. He's got a little Parcells in him.
He's nuts. He's got some crazy in him is what he's got.
Did you get a little twitchy listening to that? Those
stupid.
When I catch you, you're
I'm going to kill him at halftime.
Is he really going to kill us?
No.
Is he going to kill somebody?
Did he hit me in the helmet with his whistle again?
Yes. You look at effort first.
617-779-0985. That is the latest from Cleveland and the Browns. What a mess. What a mess it is. At least they have Todd Haley. Again, he should become the coach by the end of the season. If he can be the coach by week one, this will all look really good as a show. We'll get to your calls coming up. Also, the latest on the Celtics. Yes. Time for a Celtics topic. Zoe, we haven't had one in a while. Couple of items, Jaylen Brown as well as Kyrie Irving, the latest on him, next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you think the roster or the rotation is going to unfold this season? And then do you think you guys are getting to the finals?
We're getting to the finals. No question about it. But I hate how everybody's like, oh, LeBron's gone in the East. I know he did have a stronghold on the East for the last 7 years, but he barely got up out of there this year. And our mindset was like, man, he's not beating us again. And that's what our mindset was. Like, we had a bunch of young guys who could really play, and we didn't back down from nobody, you know. And a lot of teams did, you know. A lot of teams got caught up into this and caught up into that. And we just came out and played basketball, and that's what we do.
That was Jaylen Brown last week on the Pull Up Podcast. CJ McCollum. I know that Jones and Arcan talked about it last week, the end of last week when we weren't here. Felger Mass hit on it yesterday. What'd you make of these comments? The cockiness of saying, oh, we're going to the finals.
I'd say he's got some balls if LeBron was still in the East. And he make those comments.
Even without LeBron in the East. To just have it be such a sure thing in his mind that they're going to the finals.
That's great you think that way. I mean, coaches don't want to hear that.
Is there a way to say it, though? Isn't there a way to say it a little bit differently than that?
Yeah.
How foolish of you to even ask me that question.
I like
of course
swagger.
We're going to the finals.
I like a confident
player.
Say,
hey, that's our goal is to be, whatever, winning a championship, and we're going to, you know, whatever, something. Like, it just sounds very cocky.
He's like, yeah, LeBron barely got out of there. Well, the team that he barely got by was you. Like, you. He eliminated you. So he still got there.
Doesn't matter if he barely got there, if he got your ass swept.
He's like, yeah, man. He's like, they barely, you know, LeBron barely got out of it this year. Yeah, because he beat you. Forget that.
On your court.
On your court.
In game 7.
Yeah, and then he went and
he hugged
Jason Tatum.
They had the lead in that series, and then LeBron
just stomped him out in game six and seven.
Did he remember that part of the series?
I wouldn't
call that barely getting out. I'd call it, oh, damn.
Take Jason Tatum out of it.
Oh, I got to go home and win a game, and then I'll just win game 7.
Take Jason Tatum out of it. Wasn't Jaylen Brown part of that crew that sort of really didn't show up those final two games against him? Remember the Scary Terry stuff?
No, Jaylen Brown showed up in game 6.
He did, but you know what I'm saying. Nobody was taking that ball and saying, we're going to put this team away at the end of that game. Jason Tatum was the only one that had the feel to do that. Or you ever thought wanted the ball in his hand. Because it didn't seem like anybody else did. And LeBron snuck out. He beat you. I like that he has confidence. I like him as a player. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's not part of any trade. But you're right. He could have worded that differently. It's one thing to be confident, but yeah, hell yeah, we're going to the finals.
We're getting to the finals. No question about it.
That's a dumb question.
Like, injuries don't happen?
Why would you ask me that question? Are we going to the finals? Of course we're going to the finals. Just any player on any team in any sport, it makes me uneasy when they talk like that before the season has even begun.
See, people got
like you're inviting bad things to happen to you. I believe in that crap. I believe in karma. I believe that if you're too cocky like that, like bad things are bound to happen to you.
Know what you're doing. Unless you walk that walk.
Classical Burris saying they're only going to score 17. Oh, we're only going to score 17 points. And he laughs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And they got beat.
Great example of that.
Or maybe somebody saying it's Philly and Nick Foles. It's not like they're going
to
score 40.
I feel like you're inviting bad things to happen when you do this. I do. I believe in the balance of the universe
karma,
or whatever
right.
it is. Like, it's going to come back to bite you.
Ebbs and flows.
Like, this is, you're setting yourself up for someone to laugh at you a lot when you don't get to the finals.
Yeah, when Philly hangs
I
the banner.
I just hate when guys do this. I hate that part of it. Like, it was a foolish question.
No.
How foolish of a question? That's not even a question. Your question is not even valid.
Remember when people were questioning LeBron?
Of course
LeBron
we're going to the finals.
Do you remember people during the regular season when they were questioning LeBron about a regular season game and LeBron stopped and laughed at him and goes, please, you're asking me about a regular season game. I've been to 6 straight NBA finals. That is a fact because I've done it. I've walked that walk. So I could answer the question that way, okay? Until you do it, until you get there, you know, but I love the passion and I love the approach. I don't like the way he handled it. That's all. He can learn from this.
Yeah, I don't love.
Be careful next interview. That's all.
I don't love the part about the
kick and play.
The LeBron stuff. You lost. You lost to LeBron.
Don't take a shot at LeBron barely getting there because you're the team.
So this would be my question back to him was if that's how you feel about LeBron, how should the Milwaukee Bucks feel about you? Like, no, oh, Celtics. They're good. But, yeah, they barely got out of the first round against us last year.
Yeah.
If that's how you're going to play it, Jaylen Brown, the Milwaukee Bucks can sit there and say, you barely made it out of the first round, Celtics. That doesn't really count because we almost got you. Like, is that what you can do now? Giannis can sit there and say, Jaylen Brown loves Celtics.
Well,
they barely got by us. That's what you can do.
Yeah.
If that's how you want to play the game.
Yeah. Stevens will get a hold of them. I'm sure Ainge will get a hold of them. They'll get a talking to for this stuff. Man, come on. He's still young. He's a good player. He won't do that again. I don't think he'll do that again.
The LeBron thing. I'll tell you what, if LeBron had any semblance of a team around him,
he's out of the East.
If LeBron had any real team around him and it wasn't all just him this year, it would have been the same result as it always was. Stop. Okay, so there's that. And then there's this, which also makes me feel rather uneasy about the Celtics and where this year is going to go. There's yet another report, though, about Kyrie Irving possibly teaming up and going to New York. And every time I read these stupid Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving stories, and the latest one comes from a Business Insider, one source says it wouldn't surprise me if either New York team or potentially both New York teams hit it big next summer. One source saying the chatter about the Knicks and Nets being well positioned to land both Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler is, quote, substantial. The chatter is substantial. How would it be substantial for that to be true? And I don't know if it is true, but let's, for the sake of the conversation, assume it's true. How could it possibly be substantial? It doesn't get substantial by the teams talking about it themselves, saying we want those two players. That doesn't mean anything. It becomes substantial because agents or people in the inner circles of those two players or those two players themselves are talking about it and are talking about getting together and are talking about going to New York because New York is the market they want to play in and they want to play together. And Kyrie Irving had that promotional tour for his movie, Uncle Drew, in which he went to New York and talked about how he could envision being a Nick and how that was always home and all that nonsense that he went down there to say. This doesn't make me feel any better. It makes me feel worse about the possibility of Kyrie Irving walking out the door at the end of this season. It just feels like the guy wants to play in New York. Are we going to deal with these stories all year long?
Yeah.
Because here we are again. We're circling back to the same story.
Stop.
New report, new reporter, different source, whatever.
Yeah. Because I think that player wants to keep every avenue open.
Yes. And he feeds it by basically leaving it all open. And maybe it's true. Maybe all of it is absolutely true. And so that's why it's out there. And that's why there's substantial chatter, because it's real.
You know what scares me more than anything is Kevin Durant did 5 podcasts with Bill Simmons, right?
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving did a long sit down with Bill Simmons, right?
Okay.
Podcast.
Yeah.
And he just drops in a few months ago. You know, I get the feeling that maybe Kyrie and Durant want to form a super team in New York together next year. Just drop that in the middle of his randomly talking to somebody about the NBA.
Wait, who said this?
Simmons.
Oh, okay.
After having both of those guys exclusive sit downs.
So think of that. Think about that. Okay. So you're another year removed. You think Durant and the company are going to win it again this year? Probably, right? So, okay, I got 3 in a row. Now I'm bored. Now I'm ready for the next challenge. Now I'm West Coast. I want to go East Coast. I want to play in a big city. I want to play in New York. Makes all the sense in the world. Kyrie Irving, does he really have to win here in Boston? Did he come here? He came here to make it his own.
He came here to get out of Cleveland. And he already won. He didn't choose Boston. Chose him.
He's already got a championship, see? You're right. Boston chose him. He didn't go out of his way to pick Boston, but hey, I'll play for you. I don't have to win here. I already won. Be kind of cool if I could play with Durant in New York. Maybe we can win there. You know?
And you know what else I've come to realize? No matter what happens, what happens on the court and what happens with the season, it's not going to change his desire to go there. It's not going to change his decision. So I just hope people don't fool themselves into believing that if the Celtics were to have an incredible run and make it to the finals, or dare I say, win the title.
I mean,
that it wouldn't change anything. In fact, if that were to happen, I think it could make it somewhat easier for him to walk away.
Like, if you grew up in downtown Chicago, or you played in the city, and you grew up as a kid, and you're an AAU kid, and you're one and done, and the world's yours, you dream about playing for the Bulls. If you grew up like that on the East Coast, these guys that play the game would love to play for New York. To play at Madison Square Garden.
Kevin Durant. So Simmons says Kevin Durant and... And
he's like, I get the feeling.
This is beyond
super team in New York.
I get the feeling that both of them could end up in New York after sitting down with both of them one on one and having an intimate conversation. Who knows what was said when the recorder wasn't rolling? But you're talking about a guy in Kevin Durant who has won back to back titles, mm-hmm. and the chatter about him is, where's his next stop? So winning doesn't mean anything. The winning, once it's done, is out of the way. Now I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Durant and Kyrie are both these super thinkers. They're like the thinking man's basketball player, right? They always just deep thinker guys.
Like KD went to Golden State to get his shoe sales up. Remember that? Remember his people in his circle wanted to get the shoes sell
that's
better?
Why not think of it like this type of thing? You know, Kyrie's like that too. They're both the same guy. If they go to New York together, could definitely see that happen.
I feel like this story is going to be a story all year long. Just get used to it. This is going to be a running storyline with the Celtics, which is this Kyrie Irving's last year in a Celtics uniform. It's certainly starting to feel that way. Like he's going to take off on us. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up. Also, we get the ridiculous Red Sox topic of the day, because this is what we do now. The team is so good. They're so far out in front. We have to come up with ridiculous, very positive arguments about the team. Yesterday was the MVP. Today, Chris Sale and Pedro in the same sentence. All that's on the way.
Sports Hub headlines.
2-1 victory for the Red Sox last night, as they will now finish up the quick 2-game set against the Phillies in Philadelphia. Sandy Leon talking about the game last night. Got a lot of fight in this team. Especially when it comes to the starting pitcher last night, Rick Porcello.
I mean, he works, man. He works. He's really good. I mean, he competes. He fights. So, and any chance this in the mound, we're gonna expect 100% from him. So that's all you do. Just trying to do the 100%. Just trying to win the game for us.
Once again, they'll wrap up the road trip with the second of two tonight against the Phillies in Philly. The Patriots are having a walkthrough practice today ahead of tomorrow night's preseason game number two against the Philadelphia Eagles. University of Maryland president said today, or yesterday, excuse me, that the school accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes made by their staff at a workout back in May that led to the death of a 19-year-old offensive lineman. Jordan McNair, the assistant athletic director for the school, has resigned. The coach is still on paid leave. Headlines are brought to you by Core Golf and Natick. Buy a bucket after 5 p.m. Monday through Friday to get in on the $1 million shootout going on now. For complete details, visit Core Golf in Natick. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports. I have more headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Line shot right field. Williams on the move. He's not going to get it. Porcello strikes again. Up against the wall. He's diving into second base, and he's got himself a double.
Calm down. He is a player. He is a baseball player.
Well, you got to love the, I mean, a lot of the guys are like, don't dive, don't dive.
But that is a baseball player.
You got to love the
dive. You never see that.
Last night, Rick Porcello helping his own cause. Dennis Eckersley.
He's a baseball player.
Dennis Eckersley getting very, very, very excited.
He's a baseball player.
Red Sox win again in Philly. The Yankees won. The lead is still 10. And here we are again talking about a Red Sox team that has got it wrapped up. It's got it wrapped up.
I turned it on last night. The guy from Philly swung and he missed. And the ball hit him in the leg and he was out.
He got caught on. Yeah.
What a train wreck.
It was good.
And Philly's a good team. Philly's a good team.
Pinch hit home run by Brock Holt. Someone to jump on the, Alex Cora in the hot hand that he's got
Brock
managing. Or that he's pinch hitting for his pitcher because in the National League ballpark.
Because he doesn't want to send it back out there in the eighth inning.
Correct. Like, the brilliance of Alex Cora. Like, no.
But
put a position player in there who's got better odds of getting a base hit than your pitcher, despite what you just heard in that highlight.
Right. It's another example of just... You know, the horseshoe being
Alex
right up
Cora
there.
Alex Cora's the best.
No, he chose the right player, though. He had options. He had. I mean, obviously, JBJ's not hitter, but Moreland.
Okay. Oh. And those options are? Go on.
No, you have JBJ. You could hit Pierce. He decided Brock Holt. It's not a great option. So
Pierce or Holt are really the options there, right?
I'd go Pierce.
Yeah.
So you flipped a coin.
Oh, the brilliance of Alex Cora.
Which guy's had bigger moments
lately? This guy can't lose.
But he can't. To that point, he can't. I mean, Porcello had the double earlier in the game, so it's like you could have second-guessed him. It was a tie game. 90 pitches.
How'd you like to beat Philly, though?
How about we give the credit to Brock Holt for hitting a home run?
Thank you.
In that spot.
Yeah.
Credit to Brock Holt.
Brilliant. Philly, we lost to
Alex Cora. Oh, Cora. You know what it should prove to him? That pinch hitters do work, and he should maybe consider them a little bit more often.
So moving forward, though, that's a good point. Okay, I rolled the dice right there. Went with Holt.
Someone should let him know that he can also pinch hit for positional players. He doesn't have to be the pitcher.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Hold on a second.
Yeah, go on.
You're saying in a tight game, right?
Yeah.
Toward the end of the game.
Yep. If you hit down
to the nine hole,
yes.
At JBJ, all yeah,
don't
and
get crazy
tearing
on.
The cover off the ball in the last few weeks, hitting like 230, even then you could pinch hit him.
Yes.
Oh,
he's a baseball player.
He's a baseball player. Take him out of the game. Put someone else in the bat for a guy like JBJ. Huh?
Yeah.
Weird rules.
Crazy. Crazy.
You sound like Jones now. He sounds just like Jones.
He's already ahead of John Farrell when it comes to playing in National League parks and understanding the rules and what you might want to think about doing.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think Alex Cora would send Brandon Workman up to the plate in the World Series. John Farrell would. He did that once. Alex Cora shows that he would consider using another player and take the freaking guy out of the game. Let's get to this from Boston.com. Chad Finn writes this. Chris Sale is having one of Pedro Martinez's best seasons. That headline is a little bit jarring. Mm. What? We're going to put Chris Sale in the same category as Pedro? He writes, Pedro Martinez's 2000 season is by at least one measure the greatest a pitcher has ever delivered in the modern era. Martinez, 18-6 with a 1.74 ERA for the Red Sox, allowing just 128 hits and 32 walks over 217 innings while striking out 284. His whip of .737 is the best in baseball history. And his 291 adjusted ERA, which means he was 191% better than a league average pitcher, has also never been topped since the turn of the 20th century. Tim Keefe of the 1880 Troy Trojans had a 293 adjusted ERA, but in just 12 games. Can we throw that out of the conversation? I can't believe Chad even included this in the story. Get out of here with that, 1880. Stop it. So that was so long ago, he predates Bartolo Colon. Okay, funny. He says, but what's amazing is that Martinez's season might be the best in baseball history, and there's an argument that 99 could have been his best year, which, again, this is a long way of getting to Chris Sale, who is putting together a season that is sort of Pedro's two best years combined. He's measuring up to peak Pedro so far, 12-4, 1.97 ERA, 0.849 whip, striking out 13.5 batters per nine innings, allowing just 5.61 hits per nine innings, which is better than Pedro in 99, has a league adjusted ERA of 2.22, which if it holds up would be the 18th best of the modern era and 10th best since 1920, just ahead of Martinez and that 2.19 adjusted ERA with the 97 Expos. So he's kind of combining a bunch of stats from different years on Pedro.
Okay.
But the argument is being made that Chris Sale is in Pedro territory as a pitcher. Agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Disagree strongly.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I disagree strongly.
Insulting to Pedro.
Because I look at the lineups that Pedro was facing in 99 and 2000.
Steroids. Mm.
And then I look at the lineups and the style of play in 2018, and I say, it was harder for Pedro to have the success that he did and be 191% better than the average in 99 or that stat 2000 than it is for Chris Sale to do what he's doing. And that sounds like I'm knocking Chris Sale. I'm not. I think he's right now thrown as the best in the game. But that's not Pedro level. You'll never convince me that it is.
The strikeout numbers are the thing that stand out to me, because if players across the board and teams across the board, they're not striking out 5% more, 10%, 20% more. Teams strike out 20% more now than they did in the early 2000s. And what he's using different seasons for Pedro, but you take Pedro's best season to this season right now, that's the number to me that stands out. And that speaks to a lot of other things. That affects a lot of other things in the game. If your team is just striking out more, then it's going to help your numbers too. Guys just swing and miss more than they used to. They're playing the game differently offensively. And I'm with you, Beetle. I don't take anything away from Chris Sale. Give him the ball game one. Every single time, he is the man for this team right now. He's having a phenomenal season. Is it Pedro? Is it Pedro in his prime type of stuff? No. I know you got numbers to back it up, but the numbers speak to different things now than they did when Pedro was pitching.
The strikeouts especially.
Yes.
That to me is a number that just doesn't carry. It doesn't hold up. We're close to, about 6 weeks to go in the season? The number of strikeouts in this current season is about to match what happened over the course of the entire 2000 season in baseball. Like they're within hundreds of each other already. So by the end of the season, you'll have way more strikeouts in 2018 than you did in 2000. Plus the league, you know, if you look at like the major league average batting wise, you go back to 2000, it's better than what it is now. 248 is the current major league batting average in 2018. What did Jim shaking his head? What are you shaking your head at? 248. 248 being the major league average.
That's terrible.
That is gross.
That means JBJ is close to average.
The batting average in, again, this is the major league. I didn't split it up American National, but the major league average in 2000 was 270. So it's dropped 22 points in that time. major league average, which is a pretty decent difference.
270, yeah, 270. Now you'd say, like, huh, pretty good hitter. He's a 270 hitter. It's not bad.
617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls coming up next on the Patriots, Celtics, and, of course, the Red Sox as well. Stay tuned. Is this thing on? Okay, good. Excellent. Whoa. Excellent.
Very loud.
We apologize all right. for that. Had a little glitch here.
Sorry about that.
Knocked us off the air for a couple minutes, but we are back. Ready to go. I was just reading through your book, Scott. Had a couple minutes here.
It's a pretty good story.
Started reading the foreword by Drew Bledsoe, one of my favorites.
Hey, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew. That's what it was. All right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think we're not going to mess around with calls at the moment. We're going to wait till we're
but maybe hold off on the calls here momentarily.
Yeah, it's fully functional radio show,
which is too bad. We had a
good discussion.
We had some calls that people did want to chime in on the various topics of the day, which included the Celtics and the Kyrie. Again, the latest Kyrie Irving story that he's there's substantial chatter about him and Jimmy Butler going to New York, whether it be the Nets or the Knicks next offseason, which I just think is a storyline we're going to have to get used to around here. And it's going to be something that comes up multiple times throughout the season.
When do you think it's going to die?
A season that we expect this to be a really good season for the Celtics. No, is there anyone not expecting that?
No. And the better season that he has, it's going to make him more money, and people are going to talk about it more, meaning Kyrie Irving. So best case scenario for him, too. Just go out and play your ass off, show you can gel with all these other guys and have one hell of a year. And if you go, you go. Nothing you can do about it.
If you're the Celtics, how do you handle the situation? Do you acknowledge it with him? I mean, in terms of talking to the player?
No.
Just ignore it.
Just ignore it.
Treat it like it's not happening.
External noise. Because it's out of your control right now. You can't control that. Unless you really want to go in and just offer him the world. I mean, you ready to do that at this stage? Do you know how the knee's going to go? You don't. You go out and let him play and let's see what the knee looks like. That's what you do.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, you're not left with a lot of options.
Right.
You know, that's the plan. There is no secondary plan or a backup plan.
Well, you got Terry Rozier, so you got that to look forward to.
No, no, you're back in.
It's pretty scary.
Again, day one, week one of this next season. And you can adjust a little bit if you need to adjust the timeline a little bit on the recovery, but no, he's the guy.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get an update. Hardy, headlines.
Ready to go.
We'll get back on track. Hopefully we get everything sorted out phone-wise. We can get to your calls as well. Do want to go back to what we started the day with, and that is Tom Brady spoke yesterday after practice. It was the second time this camp that he has spoken. We will get to Tom Brady and what he said after this.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, the Sports Hub, the home of the New England Patriots.
Go Patriots!
95, the Sports Hub, WBZFM HD, Boston, a Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Tom Brady and the Patriots holding a walkthrough practice today ahead of their preseason game number 2 tomorrow night against the Eagles. Then some frustration in Patriots camp, including yesterday when Tom Brady punted a ball. What? Why'd you do that, Tom?
I think I'm generally frustrated. That's a very generally frustrated would be a very typical term for me out here. So I think there's a lot to do and a lot to get done, and hopefully we can, you know, have the urgency. I think you're just trying to, every drill's got to get something out of it, and you got to build towards something because the competition's tough and they're building, and you got to keep the pace.
Competition for tomorrow night are the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Again, preseason game number 2 tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium. For the Red Sox, it was a 2-1 win over the Phillies in Philadelphia. They'll go again tonight. Sandy Leone getting things done for Alex Cora again last night.
He's been good for us. We're very happy with the way he's playing. There's a guy that in spring training, you know, he showed up in great shape. Obviously, Christian was playing a lot, and he didn't complain. He kept working, and the door opened up a little bit there, and now he's playing great baseball, and we're very happy with the way he's competing.
Tonight, Nathan Eovaldi gets the ball to finish off the quick 2-game set. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of David Portnoy at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.